WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Peter King. Israel has been expected to start its ground invasion of Gaza for days, but it hasn't happened. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby has just suggested the Biden administration has been asking Israeli officials about that.
The kinds of tough questions that any military ought to be asking before you launch any kind of a major operation. Have you thought through the branches? Have you thought through the sequels? Have you thought through the unintended consequences? And so we are in active conversation with them about that.
Israeli officials are talking about yesterday's attack in a mosque at a West Bank refugee camp. CBS's MTS Tayeb.
The Israelis have said that they were targeting essentially a militant headquarters. They said that there was a lot of weapons there and other things that were going to be used in attacks against the Israeli forces or indeed the Israeli population.
Israel has said a ceasefire is not on the table, but the European Union's top diplomat says a pause would be helpful for civilians who need help in Gaza. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
Josep Borrell says there should be a temporary interruption in the fighting, not necessarily a ceasefire, to allow in more aid.
It's very dire, and the only thing that we can do is to ask for a humanitarian pause and to increase the access of the humanitarian support. This is what is in our hands.
Only a few aid trucks have crossed the Egyptian border into Gaza so far.
Off-duty airline employees often ride as passengers in cockpit jump seats. Last night, a Horizon Air crew says its jump seat passenger, an off-duty pilot, tried to shut down the engines on the way from Everett, Washington to San Francisco. Here's the air traffic audio, courtesy of ATC.net.
When able, you could let me know the threat level.
Okay, I'll just give you a heads up. We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit, and he doesn't sound like he's causing any issue in the back right now. I think he's subdued.
The plane landed safely in Portland. The off-duty pilot is being held on charges including attempted murder and reckless endangerment. House Republicans hope to come up with a candidate to fill the speaker's job nearly 3 weeks after they voted Kevin McCarthy out with no consensus on a replacement. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Now the nomination process begins anew with 9 candidates all vying for the job. All of them men, all of them members of the Conservative Republican Study Committee, with a range of experiences and tenures as they seek a job that is second in line to the U.S. presidency.
Police say at least 25 vehicles were involved in accidents on Interstate 55 north of New Orleans. They say visibility is poor because of wildfire smoke. At least 2 people have been killed in those crashes. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 35. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamara Hall.
A woman was killed over the weekend in a single-vehicle crash in western Wisconsin. Law enforcement authorities announced 21-year-old Brianna Beck of Red Wing died after a crash in the town of Anson in Chippewa County on Saturday. The accident reportedly occurred at around 9:20 p.m. Saturday. Emergency responders attempted life-saving measures, but Beck was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities cited high speed as the cause of the crash after Beck apparently left the highway at a curve and hit a tree. The Wisconsin State Senate will take up a funding proposal for American Family Field in Milwaukee on Wednesday. According to C. Hafer News, lawmakers may discuss potential amendments to the plan before the vote. As it stands now, the over $500 million plan to fund renovations at the stadium will guarantee the Milwaukee Brewers will remain in Wisconsin until at least 2050. Governor Tony Evers and local leaders in Milwaukee have already expressed their support of the proposed plan. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
93.5.
The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I am glad to say that this is the first day of the two-hour Matt Flynn Direct. My good friend and a terrific host, Todd Albo, precedes me from noon to two. We're two to four. Domin Crute, Devil's Advocate, four to six. It's 6 hours of very, very strong radio, and I'm delighted to be part of it. A lot to talk about today, I'll tell you what. And obviously the two major stories are the speaker race and the dysfunction of the Republican Party, and also the war in the Middle East, the savage, really kind of genocidal attack by Hamas on the Israelis, sadistic attack, their response. We're going to talk about all of that and a number of other issues as well. But let's talk first of all about the speaker race. And I want to review the bidding on that. You may remember from last week when we left off, there was a third ballot. And this time, Jordan didn't make it. And then they held a secret ballot. And, you know, that was a stroke of genius because 25 Republicans incurred the wrath of Donald Trump and voted in public against Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. But when they held a secret ballot to see whether he should stick around for a fourth ballot, there were 112 Republicans that said no. There are 86 Republicans, only 86 said yes. And there were over 20 that didn't vote. And, you know, 25 of them had the guts to do that in public. The rest of these people chickened out, but when it came down to a secret ballot, he was toast. And I'll tell you what, this is a guy, you could not have him two steps removed from the presidency. He was as crooked as a dog's hind leg. He met with Trump to overthrow the election. He's the guy that, the reason we call him Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, you know that very well. I'm not going to get into it anymore. This guy's toast. I hope that somebody in his Ohio district, a Republican who has some integrity, runs against him in the primary, or if we have a good Democrat, pull the upset of the century. But now where do we go from here? What kind of schedule did the Republicans set for themselves? Here they screwed it up three times. They let Matt Gaetz recall Kevin McCarthy. Matt Gaetz and eight Republicans, including Matt Gaetz, recalled Kevin McCarthy because Kevin McCarthy is weak. And when he finally won on the 15th ballot back earlier in the year, he had to promise that any one Republican, any one, and they have enough sociopaths in that conference, so he was asking for trouble. Any one of them could say that the chair is vacant we have to vote again. In the old days, you had to have a percentage of the House. It never happened. And it's been, I think, I don't know how many hundred years since the last time it took 2 days to pick a speaker. Now we're bumping on 3 weeks almost to pick a speaker. Normally what happens is one of the parties has a majority. This time the Republican Party has a majority. It's not a big majority, but it's a majority, 4 or 5 votes. And normally they get together and they duke it out. And there's hard feelings. But at the end of it, what happens is somebody is designated the speaker candidate by the Republicans, and that's it. They all fall in line. This time, really, the Republican Party is sort of a cadaver. It's split into several parts. So where do we go from here? Here's the schedule that they impose. They can do it. They're the majority. This is what they want to do. They had noon on Sunday yesterday for anybody who wanted to run for speaker, and 9 people signed up. And I want to share this is very cute. I got an email on Saturday from a woman named Rita. And Rita said, what about Pete Stauber, S-T-A-U-B-E-R? What about him as speaker, Republican? I looked him up. I never heard of the guy. I don't imagine 10%, 5% of the people that are listening to this ever heard of the guy. He represents Duluth. He sounds like quite a guy. He was a police officer. He was shot on duty one time. He was a hockey star. So Rita, I've never met him, and I don't agree with him on hardly anything, but the fact is that he sounds like he's an impressive guy. He won the national hockey championship. When I say he, his team did, but he's quite a hockey player. He has 4 brothers. They're all hockey players. And he won the national championships in 1988 for a very, very small college I'd never heard of before. So Rita asks, what about Pete Stauber? Well, Rita, the problem for Pete Stauber is he didn't stick his name in at noon yesterday. So Pete Stauber is not in the mix, but I really thank you for the suggestion. And everybody should know that you're free to text or email the station. You can, if you have a question of me, you can either do it here on the air or you can do it afterwards. And I do read these and I'll be happy to respond. So who are the 9? Every one of them is very conservative. Every one of them is in their right-wing study group. But what is there to differentiate them? And I'll tell you what in my mind differentiates them. Only 2 of them voted to certify Joe Biden. 2 of them. Remember, 146 Republicans, the majority of the Republican caucus, voted against certifying Joe Biden, the man who won the presidential election. Unfortunately, Kevin McCarthy was one of them. And he was sort of bullied and beaten into making a deal with Biden back in April, May time period to resolve the debt limit crisis and then also agree on some budgetary matters that would have carried us through and after the 2024 election, which, of course, his caucus immediately stabbed and threw over the side. But here are the 2. Tom Emmer of Minnesota, Austin Scott of Georgia. They're conservative. I don't imagine I agree with them on a handful of issues. But both of them, to their credit, said, we in the Congress do not have the right to overturn what the states have told us. We in the Congress do not have the right to overturn what the states have told us. As far as I'm concerned, the other 7 are presumptively disqualified. This fellow Hearn from Oklahoma, everybody's making a big fuss about him. I don't think much of him. I don't think much of Hearn. I don't think much of anybody who tried to overturn the election. 146 Republicans voted to overturn the election, but 2 of them did not in this candidate field, and they are Tom Emmer and Austin Scott. Now, what's the procedure from now? 6:30 tonight, Eastern time, 5:30 tonight, our time, they get together in a secret closed caucus. And the 9 debate the future of the party in front of everybody. and they answer questions. It's sort of a beauty contest. I mean, it's kind of like a candidate forum. It is a candidate forum. What do you mean, kind of like? It is a candidate forum. And then supposedly there will be a secret ballot to decide who is going to be the nominee of the Republican Party for Speaker. I assume that that will happen tonight, because originally they'd scheduled a public floor vote on the nominee. In other words, they were going to come together tonight. One of them would get the nod. And then tomorrow they get up on their hind legs in the Congress in public, and they would put it to a vote and see if Matt Gaetz and the other sociopaths on the far right of the Republican Party tried to stab it. Little recent word that just came in is they haven't scheduled anything tomorrow. Doesn't say they may not. Before, they said it would be 9 a.m. Eastern time. Now they've withdrawn that. They might stick it back. They might stick it back. You know what that tells me? It tells me that there is real dissension in the Republican Party, even among these nine people. And they are not convinced, and they are afraid. They are very afraid that they're going to bungle it again. Tom Emmer is the front runner. He's been endorsed by Kevin McCarthy. Tom Emmer is also one of the two, along with Austin Scott, who did vote to certify Joe Biden and said it's not our place, it's not Congress's place to tell the states to jump in the lake on their presidential election. But what do we do from here? Tonight, they will have a secret vote. And usually what happens is whoever is the nominee has to get a majority. That means they have to whittle away. So they do a ballot. The last place guy, they throw him right over the side, right out the window. Then the next, throw him out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, till the two people left. Unless somebody hits 50% plus one before then. But if there are two people left, you already have Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, slave of Putin. You already have him attacking Tom Emmer. And why did he attack Tom Emmer? Because he wouldn't vote to overturn the election. And because, quote, Tom Emmer hasn't endorsed me yet this time, end quote, direct quotation. Tom Emmer hasn't endorsed Trump. That makes me like him even more. And Austin Scott's the same way. I expect that what's going to happen is Gaetz, Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, you know, the real right-wing nuts, are going to get instructions from Trump. Deep six it again. Throw him over the side again. I think that nevertheless, Tom Emmer will get the nut. But if they do that tomorrow in an on-the-record vote, they do it tomorrow in the on-the-record vote, and they knife him with another eight people against him, Hakeem Jeffries is going to have to make up the difference if he wants to. We're going to a break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you the kinds of things that Hakeem Jeffries is going to have to take into account, what he should not take into account, and how we absolutely have to have a speaker. I also see you in the lines. The lines are live. We'll get to you later, too. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Black and white. What's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
A sprinkle or two possible this morning with gradual clearing as we head through the afternoon. We'll get to around 60 for a high today. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow, scattered showers, thunderstorms with a high near 70. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with a high of only 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, it's kind of hypocritical. Republicans who have fought against ranked choice voting for decades in my memory seem to be using ranked choice voting to to choose their speaker nominee. That's sort of ironic. the other thing that I will not trust one single one of these, and I don't care if he voted to certify Biden or not, until he absolutely says that he is going to take some action against these people that conspired to commit a coup against the United States of America. And unless he absolutely refuses to back any presidential candidate that is involved in that conspiracy. These guys are just untrustworthy unless they are willing to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And before we load it up, I mean, if there are too many kind of things they have to promise, we'll never get a speaker. I absolutely agree with you in principle that we can't have a speaker who is basically an election denier. The thing I take some comfort out of is at least these two guys voted to certify Trump. But we will see. Thanks an awful lot for the call, Jack. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
Professor, I am so happy that you are now on 2 hours a day. I need more of your history, your knowledge, and your opinion. So I'm glad to have more study time with you. Professor, I'm thinking today they cannot get a Speaker of the House without the help of the Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries, I know the whole Democratic caucus is working on this and what they're going to want out of who they're going to vote for. And they are not going to vote for an election denier. So this Emmer, I guess, you know, he has a chance. But they're going to want some stuff. And hopefully they're thinking about, you know, if you make promises to the Democrats and you don't uphold your promises about sharing, we will vote to remove you, just like they did with the last speaker. So waiting for your opinion, Matt. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew, thank you very much. And I can't agree with you more that the Democrats are not going to vote for anybody who's an election denier. Tom Emmer apparently is not. I'm going to take one more call and then I'm going to get back to what I think Hakeem Jeffries is going to want or demand from him and what he should not demand from him. And we're going to go to Keith of Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. Keith, what's in your mind today?
Good morning or good afternoon, Matt. Love your show. I just found you guys recently a couple weeks ago. I just moved back to Wisconsin from Idaho, which obviously, anyway, so my thing is this. I agree with you. You can't vote for election denier. But I do think that Hakeem needs to come together with either Emmert or the other guy. I can't think of his name. I don't really care. And they have to swear and come to an agreement on no shutdown. And they have to get some things in that spending bill for next year. Other than that, I think that's the biggest thing is let's not allow them to shut us down just because for interaction, which I believe is what they're trying to do. I think they're just trying to create disarray so that we can shut down in November. If they can get that agreement and hold them to that, then I would agree to vote, you know, even if it took 100 of people of the Democratic caucus to vote for him to get one of those two guys in, that's what I would I'd like to see happen. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. Excellent point. Now let me get to what I would say, and it reflects much of what Keith just said and some of what our other two callers said, Jack and Andrew. There are some people on the Democratic side who are saying we should demand equal representation on committees and that kind of thing. That's not going to happen. They have a 5-vote majority. They're not going to say that we have equal votes in the committee. That's not normal, and we would then not have a speaker. I also agree that there's a portion of the Republican Party that wants to shut us down on November 17. You know how soon that's going to be? Today is October 23rd. November 17 is right around the corner. When that happens, our sailors and Marines are not going to get paid. Those aircraft carrier strike forces in the Med right now that are taking drone attacks from the Houthi rebels, they ain't going to get paid. The 2,000 Marines that are over there in case something goes wrong, they ain't going to be paid. And the Republicans don't care about it. The right wing doesn't. But the majority of Republicans, I think, do. And the two people are Tom Emmer and Austin Scott. And if one of them is nominated by the Republicans, he's not going to get 217 votes because they have 5 or 10 sociopaths. But let's say he gets, what did Kevin McCarthy get? Like 209 or something, you know. What if he gets something like that, or 205 or 200 or 199? I think Hakeem Jeffries has to go to him and say, look, we need a speaker. You must promise a couple of things. First, you will not shut down the government. You will stick to the deal and honor it that Biden and Kevin McCarthy reached in the spring, which was a haircut anyway. It didn't take into account inflation. It was a haircut. What do you want? But we are not going to have you come around a gun to our head and say, okay, cut everything in half. If he agrees to that, there must be aid for Israel. There must be aid for Israel to let it defend itself. There must be aid for Ukraine to let it defend itself. There can be more money at the border and a farm bill and a budget that gets through January of 2025. If he does that, Hakeem Jeffries has to give him the votes, in my opinion. Hakeem Jeffries should not stand there and go through an inquisition on the guy and make him agree to a lot of the other things that politically he can't agree to at this point. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
CBS News Brief. After days of expectations, Israeli forces still have not started a ground invasion of Gaza. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby says the U.S. is watching and asking questions, but that's about all.
It's our view that the Israeli Defense Forces, Steve, need to decide for themselves how they're going to conduct operations. We're not in the business of dictating terms to them.
There's been some relief for Palestinians in Gaza, but the UN's Andrea Di Domenico says they need more than food and water there.
Fuel is a critical commodity, not only for desalination plant, but is critical for hospital, is critical for delivery of water, the pumping of water, but also bakeries and other shops that we need to use to produce the food.
Auto workers have expanded their strike to include a Stellantis plant that makes Dodge Ram pickups.
The union ratcheting up the pressure following a full weekend of negotiations at all three car makers.
WWJ's Jeff Gilbert, CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Jim of Caledonia, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jim, what's in your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to try to enlighten our listeners about this current thing going on in the Republican Party. And I'll kind of get to my point because hopefully this will sink into people. And my point is this. If people have need or problems and they call either the military or their local police department or their local fire department and they're under duress, maybe their life's in jeopardy, and they call for help, any one of those three areas or departments will say, well, we can't agree on our position on helping you, so we're sorry, but you'll just have to wait. And I think those three areas I mentioned cover everybody that's listening and everyone in this country.
Yeah, Jim, that's a good point. You know, the House of Representatives, the Congress, has let us down. And it's not the Democrats, it's the Republicans. They've let us down. They have let a handful of 5-10 people who are not for America. They're not for America. They're for themselves and they're for Trump. They're scared of Trump. And Trump is the guy that's at the center of all this. So you're absolutely right. And I think this time what's going to happen is they'll get behind somebody, and let's say it's Emmer or Austin Scott, who voted to certify Biden. They'll get behind him, but they may not get 217 votes. And if they don't get 217 votes, they're going to have a conversation with Hakeem Jeffries. And Hakeem Jeffries, in my view, should hold their feet to the fire and say, promise me you will put a bill on the floor. Remember something, the speaker doesn't vote. The speaker normally doesn't speak on legislation. The speaker, unlike the Senate, is the speaker for the whole House. He's not the speaker just for the Republican Party. He's the head of the Republican Party, but he's a speaker for the whole House. He has to put, or she has to put, the legislation on the floor. At that point, it's Katie bar the door. If he puts that legislation on the floor, even if a lot of Republicans don't vote for it, the Democrats will vote for it, and 100, 150 Republicans will vote for it. But he must put it on the floor. And that has to be a clean budget, aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine, some border aid, farm bill, clean budget till 2025. Don't shut down the government. Just do that and don't hold his feet to the fire and tell him to give up on 10, 15 other things right now. Let's just get going here. Thanks a lot for calling, Jim. Excellent call. Dick of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, real quick before I get to my point, why do I always hear the lyrics to Bachman Turner Overdrive's song, Taking Care of Business? The lyric in it was, I love to work at nothing all day. That's what these guys are about. But having said that, somebody on MSNBC this morning, I about fell in my chair laughing. Well, you know, out of these nine, there's really no household names here. Well, that might be a good start with this group, because the household names in this group are all certifiably insane.
Right.
I'd rather have somebody else.
Right. And crooked, and they've stuck a knife in America, and that's terrible. So thanks a lot for calling, Dick. Excellent call. And Keith of Middleton, normally we don't take two calls, but Keith, one more time. Happy to hear you again. What's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear myself talking. Hey, so just a real quick thing, and I know I'm no fan of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and so forth like that of this world. However, with all due respect, they are representing their districts, their voters in their districts, those small districts. That's the part about the House that can be very frustrating, but it's also quite wonderful, is that you have a small district of people, and they were elected to represent that district, and they're doing it well, because that's what those people want to see happen. We need to educate the people in those districts to get out and vote, because I really firmly believe that there are more people not voting because for some reason, whether it's they don't necessarily agree 100% with the Democratic voter or representative or whatever, but we cannot allow districts with that many people to be controlled by a 35 to 40% of that district.
Right, right. Yeah, let me respond to that. That's a very that's a very interesting point. And here's the reality: a congressional district is roughly 700 to 750,000 people, roughly, and it's apportioned equally by population. Take a look at the district that Marjorie Taylor Greene represents in Georgia, or Matt Gaetz represents in Florida. I do not believe that the majority of the people, for instance, in Matt Gaetz's district, want to shut down the government so military people don't get paid, because Matt Gaetz has more military people in his district than most districts in the United States. And I do not believe that Marjorie Taylor Greene's district has people in Georgia who think the military shouldn't be paid and could shut down. The problem is this. The problem is that Marjorie Taylor Greene ran a primary the first time against a moderate Republican who was a neurologist. He was a doctor. but he wasn't exciting. He wasn't flashy. And she went around just shooting her mouth off. Once somebody like that gets in office, very, very hard to dislodge them. But I'll leave you with one interesting fact, and then we're going to go on. In the last go around leading up to this next election, 2024, she's gotten very few contributions from her district. Her people do not want her, which is measured by giving money. Her money is coming from out of state. It's coming nationally. That's where it's coming from. But the problem is they will not vote for a Democrat because whatever, you know, it goes back to Nixon picking up the George Wallace constituency after 1968. So it would have to be a Republican, but then Donald Trump will come in to back her up, and somebody down there has got to grow a spine among the voters and say, look, okay, I want a conservative Republican. Maybe, you know, I'm still going to vote for Trump, but I'm not putting this clown, Marjorie Taylor Greene, in. Okay, I want to get to another topic, which is a vital interest to the United States right now, and that is what appears to be a developing war in the Middle East. This is a complex subject. You know, I've talked about it before, so we may not get to it entirely in this segment, but I want to start. It's extremely important. And there are facts and there are circumstances that you may not be aware of. First of all, when Hamas planned that sadistic, really genocidal attack on Israelis, that wasn't done overnight, and it wasn't entirely Hamas's idea. Iran is behind this. Hamas is an Iran proxy. Hezbollah up in Lebanon is an Iran proxy. The Houthi rebels in Yemen are Iran proxies. Iran is a center of evil in the Middle East. And I don't say that lightly. You know, I met Iranian people who are very fine people. I had a friend, a medical doctor who passed away, Dr. Herzl Spiro. He had came from a long line of rabbis back in Germany, going back hundreds of years. And he has had an apartment in Jerusalem. And Dr. Spiro, back before 1979, before the basically Shiite overthrow of the government, went to Iran frequently, taught there, lived there for a while, had friends there. He said they're very, very able people, very good people fundamentally. But in 1979, remember when the Shah was thrown out, they became basically a theocratic state. And basically, they are an Islamic state. They want everything to be an Islamic state. So what happened was when the Abraham Accords started to take effect, and not only the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Sudan and Morocco started to recognize Israel, but the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia let the word out that he might recognize Israel in return for security guarantee and for civilian nuclear technology. Now, there's no way that I would stand to give anybody like Saudi Arabia any nuclear technology, because they'll simply bring in Chinese and North Korean and Iranian, not Iranian because they hate each other, but Russian engineers and develop a nuclear weapon. But it is possible to give them other accommodations. Iran was alarmed by that. Iran is a Shiite nation. Saudi Arabia is the principal Sunni nation. 90% of the world's Muslims are Sunni, 10% Shiite. The only difference between them, they're both Muslims, is that back in the 7th century, when the Prophet Muhammad passed away, the Shiites believe that his successor should be in his bloodline, a relative. The Sunnis believe that it was okay to have a pious individual who is not in the bloodline. And for that, for the last 1,400 years, they have killed each other. That is the simple fact. So when Iran, basically the Shiite capital of the world, other Shiites are in Lebanon, Hezbollah are Shiites, there are Shiites in Iraq, there are a handful in Afghanistan, Pakistan, they have their mosques blown up frequently by Sunnis in those countries. When Iran got word that the Saudis possibly were going to recognize Israel, and therefore allied themselves with Western civilization, they got alarmed, and they've used their proxies to attack the West and to attack Israel. The way they did it is diabolical. When these people went in, they were not just sadistic, they were animals. It reminded me of the tortures that pogroms inflicted on Jewish people in Russia, in Poland. It reminded me of what they inflicted on Christians back the Ottoman Empire hundreds of years ago. And I'm not going to get into the details because they're so disgusting. But by doing that, I saw an interview with an Israeli colonel the other day, and he was a terrific guy, did a terrific job. He said, we went there to clean up what occurred. And he said, we found body parts, not bodies, body parts all around the area. And they're trying to trace them through DNA. There was a picture on one of the interviews. I couldn't make out what it was. It turned out it was about 7 or 8 children who'd been burned alive and tied together before they were burned in front of their parents. This is Nazi stuff. This is the stuff of animals. In fact, an animal wouldn't do it. So what do you do with that? The idea behind Iran's control of Hamas is that when you do something that despicable, the person who is the target has absolutely no recourse but to retaliate. But in the retaliation, when you're hiding like animals in tunnels, it requires bombing to seal off the tunnels. They took 222 hostages. And then all you see on TV, especially on MSNBC, are pictures of what happens in the bombing. And people immediately forget the details of what the animals did in the first place. Let me give you an example. This happened Saturday, October 7. On October 8, there was a rally, a disgusting rally in New York, of people who rallied for the Gaza side of it. It was organized by the Democratic Socialists of America. They're not Democrats. They hijacked the name Democrats. Some of the people in the crowd had swastikas. They marched down to the Israeli embassy. And the speaker, the MC, here's what he said, quote, they were laughing. They were laughing, and it was as if their soccer team had won the World Cup. They said, as I'm sure you know, that there was a sort of rave or desert, this is a direct quote, rave or desert party where they were having a great time until the resistance came in and took out several of the hipsters. But I'm sure they're doing okay, despite what the newspaper said. And he laughed about the torture. We're coming to a break. I'm going to get back to this issue right after the break and make a suggestion of how this has got to be resolved. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Gradual clearing as we head through the afternoon. We'll get to around 60 for a high today. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 15. Tonight down to 50. Tomorrow, scattered showers, thunderstorms with a high near 70. Tuesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible with a high of only 59. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And then before I give you what I think is going to have to be the solution, it's going to require a good show of force. Consider this. I just read to you what was said in New York on the day after this atrocity. There is a woman who is a professor at a college in California, the University of California, Davis. Her name is Gemma DeCristo. And here's what she said. She said she threatened, quote, Zionist journalists and their families, quote, one group of people we have easy access to in the U.S. is all these Zionist journalists and their families for their propaganda and misinformation. They have houses with addresses. They have kids in school. They can fear their bosses, but they will fear us more. This is a professor at the University of California in Davis. I'll tell you something. I would arrest her if I were a DA at Charger. That's a terroristic threat. This is the kind of thing you see. So when people look at MSNBC and say, and properly so, that the bombing is a terrible thing, you must understand the attempt by Iran to isolate Israel. And we're not going to permit it. Israel at its widest, part is 86 miles wide. 86 miles, get in a car and drive from Milwaukee to Madison and then drive 11 more miles. That's as wide as Israel is. At its skinniest, shortest width, it's 9 miles. Get in a car, drive up from downtown Milwaukee to down Brown Deer Road. That's what it is. Israel is a nation of peace, of technology, of reaching out to its neighbors. Prior to Netanyahu, everybody attacks Netanyahu. I don't agree with a lot of Netanyahu does. But they had excellent prime ministers before that who tried to make peace and just resolve everything. The most recent was when Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak and Bill Clinton got together a little over 20 years ago. And the Palestinians were given 95% of, they could have all that land. They could have the West Bank. They could have it all. Only one thing was asked, that they recognize Israel's right to exist. You can have neighbors that don't get along. I've had neighbors in the past that I didn't get along with, you know, houses I've had. But as long as you are not afraid they're going to sneak in and murder you at night, you can deal with that. Yasser Arafat wouldn't do that. He wouldn't take back all his land for that one promise. And the reason he wouldn't, actually two reasons. One is he would have been assassinated. That's what happened to Anwar Sadat back 40 years ago. And by the way, Anwar Sadat was the Egyptian who launched the sneak attack during the Yom Kippur War in 1973. This guy was an Egyptian's Egyptian, but he was a guy who understood statesmanship, and he agreed to get a peace agreement with Israel. He was murdered by his own bodyguards. There was a governor of the Punjab in India. It's actually a disputed region. And a Christian woman, because this gets done to Christians all the time, by the way. Christian woman was accused of blasphemy and put on there's a death penalty. And what happened was she was a poor person working the field, and a woman who didn't like her said she just blasphemed the prophet. Yeah, she didn't say anything. Governor Punjab said this isn't right. She should be released. He was murdered by his bodyguard. You must understand that all the people on the other side of Israel understand are two kinds of force, military force and economic force. And that is what I'm going to suggest as the way to resolve this. But we're going to go to the lines first. Dave in Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, I think your analysis is absolutely 100% excellent. It's one of the best that I've heard, certainly the best I've heard on broadcast, radio, television, et cetera. Yeah, you know, I think, as I said, your analysis, your assessment's great. It is Iran, their entire objective is to make sure there's no peace with Israel, because peace with Israel implies the continued existence of Israel. So what they do is they intervene best they can to prevent peace with Israel. You know, there were, right after Rabin was assassinated, there was an election. I believe that it was the one right after Rabin was assassinated, between Shimon Peres of the Labor Party, you know, a leftist, very left-oriented, and Netanyahu, who is less aggressive with respect to a two-state solution. So what the Iranians did, in other words, Peres was the more the person who would more likely be able to achieve peace with the Palestinians. So what the Iranians did was they ordered a series of terrorist attacks. With each of those terrorist attacks, well, first let me back up. Peres was ahead 20 points approximately. But with each of those terrorist attacks, the 20-point margin decreased by about 3% until, you know, one after another, after another, after another, after another, until Netanyahu won by less than one per percentage point. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. That's just one of many, many examples of how Iran intervenes in order to prevent peace. And if you don't get rid of Hamas, I don't see how there will ever be peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yep. Okay. I thank you for that great call. We have about a minute and a half before the break. Jesse of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Jesse, what's your mind today?
Hi, Matt, I think you have mischaracterized a number of aspects about the entire Israel-Palestinian situation. One, I think it bears repeating that Yitzhak Rabin was a man of peace and was able to come together at the Oslo Accords. He was assassinated, I think it should be noted, by a right-wing Orthodox Israeli who was trying to dismantle and dislodge the peace process. That it hasn't gotten mentioned on your show or anywhere that I've heard in the recent discussions, and it bears repeating. And secondly, I don't hear any discussion about these illegal settlements in the West Bank. Now, none of that justifies the horrible things that Hamas did recently.
Okay, Jesse, hold on, Jesse. Jesse, I'm going to ask Anya to keep you on the line and put you on when we come back. I'm forced to go to a break right now, but I'm not going to cut you off. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. You stay on the line, and after the break, Anya will put you back on. Thank you.
Radio
keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
93.5
The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.